Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. There was another rally today in Philadelphia. This one featuring, hopefully, future Vice President J.D. Vance. So I have some audio of that, which I'm going to share with you. Plus this hour, we're going to give away tickets for you to join Dom Giordano as he hosts Donald Trump Jr. for our next Politics and Pints. Our Talk Radio 1210 WPHD Politics and Pints. So here's Vance talking to the press in Philly. And talking about how Waltz and Kamala Harris make an interesting tag team together. Cut number one.
This is a guy who's proposed shipping more manufacturing jobs to China, who wants to make the American people more reliant on garbage energy instead of good American energy, and has proposed defunding the police just as Kamala Harris does. I think it's interesting, actually, they make an interesting tag team because, of course, Tim Walz allowed rioters to burn down Minneapolis in the summer of 2020, and then the few who got caught, Kamala Harris helped bail them out of jail. So it is more instructive for what it says about Kamala Harris that she doesn't care about the border, she doesn't care about crime, she doesn't care about American energy, and most importantly, she doesn't care about the Americans who have been made to suffer under those policies.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care. And he's right about that fact. She doesn't care. No doubt about it. And he was very direct with the press today. Very direct with them in terms of, look, you gotta force Kamala Harris to answer some questions. Do you realize now that it's been 16 days since Kamala Harris has become the presumptive, but, you know, the nominee? 16 days. Has not sat down for a single interview with the media. Not one. Not even a softball one. Not even one with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Not one with Nora O'Donnell. Not one. You know, I mean, at least sit down for a softball interview and have your coming out party. Nope. You got to wonder, are they going to try to do the basement strategy with Kamala Harris? Remember the basement strategy of 2020 with Joe Biden? Hide him in the basement. He was the kind old guy who was going to keep you safe from mean tweets and COVID and pretend he was a moderate. And I kept telling everybody at the time, please don't fall for this. This guy is not a moderate. Joe Biden will be extreme left because that's where the Democrat Party is. And the guy so badly wants power. These people are shape shifters. It doesn't matter if at one point they said they were moderate or not. They're shape shifters. And they'll be whatever they have to be to assume power. That's the biggest problem that we have. It really is. It's the biggest problem. The problem of authoritarianism, which runs so rampant. I've got a great clip of you about Kamala Harris talking about the power she has as a prosecutor, which if you care about civil liberties in any way, shape or form, you definitely want to pay attention to this. No doubt. She could ruin someone's life with the swipe of a pen. And I think this is something the press should ask her about. But here's J.D. Vance telling reporters, look, why don't you hold her accountable to this? Cut number two.
I think that you guys have got to do a better job at actually forcing Kamala Harris to answer questions. This is a person who's been the presumptive Democrat nominee for 16 days. She hasn't taken a single real question from a reporter. The American people deserve to get to know the people who want to lead them. And I think it's shameful for Kamala Harris, but increasingly for the media, that she's taking a basement strategy of running from reporters instead of getting in front of them, answering tough questions about her record, and letting the American people know who she is. President Trump and I take hostile questions, we take non-hostile questions, we get out there and talk to people because we respect the American people enough to want to persuade them and not to try to run from them. So I think you guys got to do a better job. That's my humble opinion.
I want to play this clip for you. This is Kamala Harris bragging. This is December of 2003. She was then the district attorney of San Francisco. Of every audio clip I've played of Kamala Harris yet, this is the one that makes you go, wow. I mean, yeah, there's ones of her cackling and there's one of her talking about staying woke and being woke and everything like this. I think part of the act right now is I'm a goofball. Ha ha. I read an article today about how, you know, Kamala Harris is rising to the moment of American culture. And that moment is kind of goofy. Yeah, you know, like goofy Kamala. Like goofy, like ha ha ha, the cackle and everything like that. I don't think that's actually who Kamala Harris really is. You know my theory? My theory is that when she got picked as VP, right? She comes into the White House, the Bidens hate her guts. She savaged Joe Biden at that debate, said he was a racist. They put her in charge of the border, but they don't let her go. They don't let her actually deal with it. She's sidelined to the old executive office building, the Eisenhower executive office building, as it's known. Just like in the show Veep. Totally sidelined, has no communication with the president. There was a commentator today who was saying something to the effect of Kamala Harris was looking for a running mate who would not outstage her. And that maybe the big concern was that Josh Shapiro would. That Josh Shapiro would outstage Kamala Harris or upstage her. And that she wanted somebody who would be a team player because the Bidens were not team players with her. They ostracized her and she didn't like that. It was around that time that she started this kind of goofy, ha ha ha, cackle and everything like that. But I think deep down inside, she's a ruthless, ruthless politician who will do whatever she has to do. But if she's in power, she will happily use that power to go after her political enemies. I mean, think about what she did by exposing all the donors of Americans for Prosperity to intimidate them and silence them and to make people think twice about writing them a check. These are the kind of authoritarians that scare me more than anything. I mean, I could play all the clips of her with Venn diagrams and electric school buses, and it's goofy and it's wacky and it's ha ha ha. It's fun to make fun of her anyway. But it's stuff like this that really should be concerning to you, concerning to everybody. And I wonder how much of goofy Kamala is really actually an act, and that this is really who she is. Cut number 12.
You know, the power I have as a prosecutor is that with a swipe of my pen, I can charge someone with a misdemeanor, the lowest level offense possible. And by virtue of that swipe of my pen, you will have to go to a courthouse and stand in line. You will have to come out of pocket and hire an attorney. You may get arrested for a few hours. You will be embarrassed in your community. You will miss time from coming onto the Google campus, all because with the swipe of my pen, I've charged you with a crime, which I may choose to dismiss 2 weeks later. It's an incredible amount of power.
The fact that she has that mindset The fact that she knows exactly how you can intimidate, harass somebody using the power of the justice system is terrifying. She's exactly right. Now, it's possible that at that moment she was saying that because she didn't want to be that kind of prosecutor, and she was pretending like she wasn't going to be, but she absolutely was. But just I make this point. You can have somebody say exactly what she just said as a warning for why overzealous prosecutors are a problem to the American constitutional republic that we have, that you can use the justice system to weaponize it, and that even though they know they don't have a shot of getting a guilty conviction, it doesn't matter. They can destroy your life. And you can have somebody say those things because they want to make sure that that doesn't happen. And they want to be a prosecutor who makes sure that that does not occur. And we've seen overzealous prosecution, but we're watching it right now. But you see, that's not what Kamala Harris was doing. She would turn out to be exactly that person, a person who would use the power of her office as a prosecutor to go out there and intimidate people. And think of the weaponization we have in the United States of America today. Think about that weaponization. That weaponization of government, that weaponization of the United States criminal justice system. Think about that. All right. And then think about Kamala Harris in charge of the United States Department of Justice. You see what's happening with Donald Trump. You see what's happening with Donald Trump now. You know, they're talking about his sentencing could happen now in September. I don't think it will, but they talk about that. That's a dangerous, dangerous person right there. Then combine that with Tim Walz, who was a guy who during COVID set up a hotline for you to be able to rat out your neighbors and your friends. And you have the makings there of an authoritarian ticket, but clouded into goofballs. You know, hey, it's me, Tim. Look at me. I'm Coach Tim, white guy from Minnesota. And, you know, the cackler. And everybody gets distracted by that, and you don't really focus on the fact that these are two people with authoritarian mindsets. I mean, just the policy position that he has of wanting to ban gas-powered vehicles, her policy position of wanting to ban cheeseburgers and ban gas grills, those are all authoritarian mindsets. And again, it's easy to go, I love school buses, ha, 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 and get sidetracked by that. But when you're talking about banning gas-powered cars or gas-powered buses, that's not a goofball position. That's an authoritarian position, just like shutting down coal-fired power plants and gas-fired power plants. Those are authoritarian positions. Taking away individual liberty to cheeseburger is not a laughing matter. I'm sorry, but it's not. It goes to a bigger problem of the left, which is they want to control every aspect of your life. And then you also get the goofball. So here's goofball Kamala Harris. Back in 2017, everybody needs to be woke, as she speaks with Recode, I guess, is a podcast or something. We got to be woke. Everybody needs to be woke. Cut 11.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. See, ha, 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 ha. Kamala Harris and the First Amendment. Let's take a look at that. The Supreme Court of the United States rebuked her use of lawfare in California. This is a great piece from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. I want to share this with you. We keep looking for an issue, any issue on which Kamala Harris differs with the Democratic left, but we keep coming up empty, they write. That includes her party's use of lawfare against political opponents, as an episode while she was the attorney general in California reminds us. Ms. Harris made headlines a decade ago by threatening to punish nonprofit groups that refused to turn over unredacted donor information. She demanded they hand to the state their federal IRS Form 990 Schedule B in the name of discovering self-dealing or improper loans. The real purpose was to learn the names of conservative donors and chill future political giving, that is, political speech. Her bullying came amid the Internal Revenue Service's notorious targeting of conservative nonprofits. Wisconsin's probe of Republican donors, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin's intimidation of donors to the American Legislative Exchange Council and a campaign of harassment against donors who supported California's Prop 8, which banned same-sex marriage. Free market nonprofits challenged the Harris dragnet, suing her attorney general's office in a case that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. In Americans for Prosperity Foundation v. Bonita in 2021, the high court ruled 6-3 that the attorney general's disclosure demand broke the law. The court pointed out that a lower court had found not a single concrete instance in which pre-investigative collection of a Schedule B did anything to advance the attorney general's investigative, regulatory, or enforcement efforts. In other words, what the court concluded is that this was entirely done as a method of intimidation. That's exactly what she was trying to do. So you see, people like her who have power will then use that power to intimidate their political enemies, just like she said in that clip. Just like she said in that clip. In fact, they went further. The Supreme Court said Ms. Harris's policy posed a risk of chilling free speech rights, and it cited its 1958 NAACP v. Alabama precedent, which protected First Amendment associational rights. Ms. Harris is citing her experience as state AG as a political asset, but the Bonita case is a warning to voters, and she's willing to use the law as a weapon against political opponents. Lawfare has failed as a political strategy against Donald Trump while undermining public confidence in impartial justice. Ms. Harris's record suggests she'll continue down this abusive road. And there's a lot of other stories about this, about Kamala Harris as prosecutor, using her power as prosecutor to go after people she didn't like. See, that's why whenever I think about this notion of her being a George Soros-funded prosecutor, soft on crime and everything else like this, I always caution people, because I actually think that's not really the true story. I think the true story is that somebody like her is a person who will go out there and will use the power of lawfare to go after and intimidate people. Absolutely. That's who she is. Do you know that there was an article I read the other day in Reason.com that more than half of the American people believe the First Amendment goes too far? Okay? The First Amendment goes too far. And when I think about that, and I think about somebody like Kamala Harris and the left in general and what they believe that the First Amendment, they want to rein it in. They want to rein it in, and they want to go in there, and they want to turn around, and they want to say, we're going to use the First Amendment. We're going to crack down on free speech when it comes to things like hate speech, for example. And if you've got polls that show more than half of Americans think the First Amendment goes too far, and then you get somebody who's an authoritarian in there, you have a perfect combination for that. Then you add to the ticket Tim Walz, who was a COVID-19 tyrant. Robbie Suave over at Reason.com has this piece as well. The Minnesota governor actually defended the state's disastrous nursing home policies. Vice President Kamala Harris has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. Walz was a moderate Democrat when he served in the House of Representatives, but veered left during his two terms as governor. He referred to socialism as synonymous with neighborliness, pursued an extremely progressive governing agenda, and earned an F. He earned an F from the Cato Institute on fiscal policy. Another notable thing about Walz is that he served as governor during the COVID-19 pandemic. It is thus possible to parse his approach to the virus, and that record is extremely disturbing. Indeed, Walz's coronavirus policies were extremely heavy-handed and restrictive. Under his leadership, the state endured the pandemic in a fundamentally anti-libertarian fashion. When the coronavirus was first spreading, Walz was an enthusiastic promoter of social distancing rules. He described the crowds in public outdoor spaces as a little too big. He even defended Minnesota's ridiculous hotline for COVID-19 snitches. That's the one that I played the audio of for you. That's right. His government maintained a method for people to report their neighbors for failing to abide by social distancing rules. Waltz insisted in an interview that one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. I played that clip for you as well. Denouncing one's neighbors as insufficiently loyal to government policies is a fundamental aspect of socialism. This is why I tell you the nickname Tiananmen Tim is catchy, because he probably learned a lot of this from studying in China. That's exactly how China operated during the pandemic. You would have neighbors were forced to, by law, snitch on their neighbors if they violated any of China's draconian lockdown policies. Remember, back in China was stealing door. They were sealing doors shut to try to stop the spread of COVID-19, even though they were also sending people on flights to go spread it around the world. But that's a whole other matter for the show. But if you think about a fundamental aspect of socialism, for example, socialists actually make terrible neighbors. There was a great piece in the Washington Examiner about that. I'll get to you to that in just a moment. But let me go back to this piece for a moment. When asked by Republicans to take down that hotline, Waltz responded by saying, quote, "We're not going to take down a phone number that people can call to keep their families safe." And though Waltz instructed police to merely issue citations to people caught violating stay-at-home orders, which is very bad, very bad, he also maintained the right via executive order to issue $1,000 fines and send violators to jail for 90 days. His government maintained that private indoor gatherings should be limited to 10 people. Outdoor gatherings were arbitrarily capped at 25 people. On July 23rd, 2020, Waltz declared a statewide mask mandate for most indoor spaces and even some outdoor spaces as well. He said at the time, quote, "If we can get to a 90 to 95% compliance, which we've seen the science shows, we can reduce the infection rates dramatically, which slows the spread and breaks that chain. This is the way, the cheapest, the most effective way for us to open up our businesses, for us to get our kids back in school, for us to keep our grandparents healthy, and for us to get back that life that we all miss so much." Now, I will say, in Waltz's defense, it's not as bad as King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness, Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey, who at one point said, "We will not rest until we have 100% compliance," and yelled at all the jackasses out there and demanded 100% compliance. So at least in Waltz's defense, he was only looking for a 90 to 95% compliance rate. So I guess that makes him just a tad less of a tyrant than Phil Murphy. So we got that going for us, which is nice. What followed, Robbie Suave writes, was the implementation of one of the stupidest COVID-19 rules ever created. Diners at restaurants had to wear masks while walking to their table and moving about the establishment, but they were allowed to go maskless as long as they were eating and drinking. Later in November and December of 2020, Waltz issued and extended orders for restaurants, gyms, and other businesses to shut down. This included outdoor dining service for eating establishments. Over 150 businesses formed the Reopen Minnesota Coalition and urged the governor to relent. But Waltz was unmoved. By the spring of 2021, when vaccines were widely available for the most at-risk groups and people who wanted to protect themselves from the risk of severe disease and death were able to exercise that option, it was only at this point that Waltz partly relented and allowed widespread reopening. However, he kept capacity limits in place for most businesses. Those nonsensical policies, the efficacy of which is now doubted by top U.S. health officials, are not unique to Minnesota. In fact, they were commonplace in blue states, but his state was as vigorous, and he was as vigorous an enforcer as any of his Democratic peers. He was also one of the foremost defenders of a monstrous COVID-19 policy choice, sending sick elderly patients back to nursing homes where the infection often spread to other vulnerable people, causing a disproportionate number of coronavirus deaths in such settings. Of course, we all know about the cover-up of nursing home deaths in New York. We all know about the LoveGov, the nursing home killer, Andrew Cuomo. But we heard a lot less about Minnesota Governor Tim Walz during all this. But he was a fellow practitioner of sentencing people to death in nursing homes. In fact, he said that was not a mistake. He said it was not a mistake to release sick people back to nursing homes. That statement alone reflects poor enough judgment as to be disqualifying for the pursuit of higher office. Pandemic policies are not nearly as salient today as they were 2 years ago, and so it seems to be seen whether Waltz's record here matters much to the voters. But for anyone who considers the COVID-19 restrictions to have been the biggest assault on our liberties in our lifetime, which I certainly do, his candidacy should be a non-starter for a lot of people. And I do agree with that point, by the way, that the idea that COVID-19 policies are a true litmus test, in my opinion, for somebody who's an authoritarian. And you think about the names at the time that we talked about most on this show. We talked a lot about Murphy because he was killing people in state veteran homes, and he was the guy out there yelling and demanding 100% compliance and calling people knuckleheads and jackasses. We talked about Tom Wolf. We talked about Dr. Rachel Levine. We talked about the Love Gov Andrew Cuomo. We talked about Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. We talked about Gavin Newsom. We talked about Jim Kenney, mayor of Philadelphia, violating his own lockdown orders on restaurants and bars and eating and dining in the state of Maryland. But we really didn't talk much about Minnesota because, I mean, not for nothing, but it really wasn't that big on the radar. And nobody was thinking at the time Tim Walz should be a national contender. So a lot of this was not national news. I mean, what this guy was doing was just as bad as everybody else. Just as bad. In fact, you could argue it was even worse because in the winter of 2020, when it was very cold out and people still could not even dine outside, as cold as it was in Minnesota, and restaurants were not even allowed to have outdoor dining. That's just pure draconian. Sentencing elderly people to nursing homes where they were going to die and then defending that policy as a good policy position. Waltz said at the time it was not a mistake to discharge COVID-19 patients into nursing homes. Citing hospital-acquired infections and limited hospital capacity, state officials on Wednesday, May 27th, this is 2020 at the time, defended the controversial policy of allowing hospitals to discharge patients recovering from COVID-19 and possibly infectious into nursing homes. Governor Tim Walz said during an afternoon press conference, quote, "I think it's important to remember these are folks that went to the hospital. They recovered, but they're still in that mode and they're going back to their home and this is where they live. The rest of us, we may self-isolate, but where are we going to put these people?" This was federal guidance, Walz said. This is what everyone was doing. This was not a mistake. It wasn't like no one thought about this. There was complexity in how you deal with this. With roughly 80% of the deaths in the entire state of Minnesota coming in long-term care settings, critics have suggested that nursing homes are not built to allow safe distancing. Others have argued that placing infective patients in congregate settings may relieve strain on resources in the short term, but holds the potential of sending more and presumably sicker patients back into hospitals. So that's what he was doing. The guy's a tyrant. Kamala Harris is a tyrant. These two form a perfectly symbiotic, tyrannical relationship. It's the keymaster and the gatekeeper coming together to form a gigantic, authoritarian Stay Puft Marshmallow Man who's going to come and spread draconian policies all over America. Waltz said at the time, if you're going to die in an American hospital, the number one thing that will kill you is hospital-acquired infections. That kills 90,000 people a year. Oh, Josh Shapiro's speaking right now. Let's hear from the non-VP pick, the governor of Pennsylvania, shall we?
And even smearing them with...
Actually, hang on that. Let me get the C-SPAN feed.
Okay. Point that I made here, as in Philly, Waltz enforced COVID restrictions on regular citizens, but not rioters destroying the city. It's an excellent observation from my friend John. Yes, just much like how Tom Wolf marched with the protesters, and Governor Phil Murphy did as well. And somehow those people were not violating stay-at-home orders, because 400 years of oppression, who were they to say you could not be out there marching? Got Shapiro?
Yep, we are good to go.
Go ahead.
We remember when he was president, it was more chaos, fewer jobs, and less freedom. You see, Philly, I know y'all, we walk around with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder because we remember, right? And we remember that it was Donald Trump that ripped away the freedom of millions of American women to make decisions over their own body.
Oh, would you stop it, Shapiro? You didn't get picked enough. Stop sounding like Obama.
We remember that. We're not going back. We are not going back. You're right. Not going back.
I can't take it. I'm sorry, Matt. I can't. Thank you, though. From the Cato Institute, which evaluated fiscal policies of governors, 2022, their report. Five governors received an A in terms of their economic policies. Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Brad Little of Idaho, and Doug Ducey of Arizona. Eight governors received an F. Tim Walz of Minnesota, Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania, J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, King Philip the Unaccountable of New Jersey, his royal ruggedness, Kate Brown of Oregon, Gavin Newsom of California, and Jay Inslee of Washington. The report by the Cato Institute examined tax and spend choices made by governors and discusses recent policy trends, and they gave the guy a big fat F. So just remember exactly who Tim Walz is. And yes, a total hypocrite. During the summer of love of 2020, everybody who was out there rioting, burning down cities, none of them were in violation of stay-at-home orders. None of them. In addition, none of them were ever charged with any crimes, and he defended their rights to be out there and criticized the police for being on the streets. I have that audio for you as well. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. We're going to be live on Friday, September 6th for our first live show of the year. So I want you to join us for that at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. In fact, since it's our happy hour, why don't we give away some tickets? Caller number 12 right now. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Caller number 12. You will get a pair of tickets to see Donald Trump Jr. and Dom Giordano at our next Talk Radio 1210 WPHG Politics and Pints at the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey on September 12th. Each ticket also includes a copy of Letters to Trump. Tickets are on sale at 1210WPHD.com. I got a lot more to get to. We're only getting started here. We're only getting warmed up. But I do want to tell you and thank my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. They have an amazing, amazing special for you right now. I drive the XC90. It's our family car, as you know. By the way, Shapiro is yelling. I can't take it. I'm sorry, I can't. He's full on Obama right now. I can just see the picture on the screen of him yelling. Clearly, he's not happy that he was not picked.
Do you want to hear a little more?
A little bit more of him yelling. Go ahead.
The reason why he's not off to a good start is this, and it's serious. He doesn't know who he is, and he's not being honest with himself. So he can't be honest with the American people. He can't. Now, so if I hear you right, and I think I do.
I think I do.
Chanting, he's a weirdo.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
Man, I love you, Philly.
I love you, Philly. Even though I didn't get picked, I love you.
If you're chanting, he's a weirdo, then you heard of my good friend and our next vice president, Tim Walz.
Oh!
Because
how y'all doing? I'm the governor of Pennsylvania.
Tim Walz. In his beautiful Midwestern plain-spoken way. He's
unlike my fake Alabama preacher way.
He's a weirdo.
Weirdo. Oh. And for that, he was picked. And because I'm Jewish, I wasn't. And I know many of you hate Jews in this party, but I'm going to stand up here anyway and yell and pretend like it's not a thing. Stop it.
Is a great man. Tim Walz is an outstanding governor. Tim Walz is
Tim Walz.
A teacher.
Tim Walz.
Is a guardsman. Tim Walz.
Tim Walz.
Patriot.
We got to get into the stolen valor of Tim Walz, too. We'll do that. All right, let me take a quick break. Caller number 12, though, you get those tickets. Cherry Hill Volvo, iDrive, and XC90. And wow, this is a great time for you. They have, this is really amazing. $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 Hybrid. These are great cars because they are gas-powered, but they also have the battery, too. They're hybrids. They're beautiful. You get incredible gas mileage on them. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for lease, then, or lease, then, for $500 a month. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. They're wonderful, wonderful people. I'm just trying to understand the copy here. Qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months or less than $500 a month. I think that's what that means. Right across the bridge, Judith Yosef and the entire team look forward to meeting you, and they'll give you a great, great experience. As a Cherry Hill Volvo, relationships matter. That's why we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios every single day. They are a studio sponsor. You're going to love the XC90. It's a beautiful, beautiful SUV. I love driving it. I really do. It's great for the kids with that third row. So much room. And remember, relationships matter. So how about $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 Hybrid? You'll save money on gas, and you will save some serious cash on this beautiful, beautiful SUV. And you'll be a customer for life because you'll love the experience, just like I love the experience, like so many people do who go to Cherry Hill Volvo. Right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter, Cherry Hill Volvo.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Jim Garrity of National Review had an interesting piece on Waltz. He oversaw the handling of hundreds of millions of dollars to Minnesota's Feeding Our Future, which was the largest COVID aid fraud scheme in the country. Announcing the federal fraud indictment against the Feeding Our Future nonprofit, FBI Director Christopher Wray called it an egregious plot to steal public funds meant to care for children in need in what amounts to the largest pandemic relief fraud scheme yet. The defendants went to great lengths to exploit a program designed to feed underserved children in Minnesota amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, fraudulently diverting millions of dollars designated for the program for their own personal gain. The nonprofit reportedly used $250 million in federal funds to purchase luxury cars, houses, jewelry, and coastal resort property abroad. What does this have to do with Governor Tim Walz, you ask? Well, a state legislative audit concluded that the Minnesota Department of Education was asleep at the wheel and for years had ignored red flags concerning the nonprofit. Every state government deals with waste, fraud, and abuse, but no other state has ever gotten taken to the cleaners to the tune of $250 million. $250 million. Hey, just so you know how bummed some in the left are over this pick, here's Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, and Mika Brzezinski, very, very bummed that Kamala Harris has picked Tim Walz. You can hear the depression in their voice today. They know this is a bad pick. The guy who's up there yelling right now and pretending he's Barack Obama, Josh Shapiro, that's who they really wanted. And look, I'm telling you right now, I think this is a gift, the fact that they did not pick Shapiro. I mean, the guy's incredibly eloquent. It's funny, too, because he's coming out and he's yelling and he sounds like a lunatic. And then Tim Walz is going to come out there and bore the crap out of everybody. It's my prediction anyway. Anyway, here's Joe and Mika. Very, very bummed this morning with the pick. Take a listen.
As Kamala Harris picks Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as running mate as she looks to boost the Democratic ticket in the Midwest.
For our viewers.
I was going to say, to Ed's point, he sounds like, you know, a football coach.
You know, it's an interesting pick. I think, ironically enough, people have looked at him as the safe pick. I would disagree. This opens up a number of issues for the Democratic ticket to now defend. But this is, it looks like, according to the Associated Press, and we're still waiting at NBC News to confirm it, but the Associated Press and other news organizations, Ed, have in fact said it's Walz. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good pick, to be honest. I mean, I think Shapiro would have been as well, but, you know, he talks in a way that isn't perceived by Republicans or non-Democrats in general to be looking down on them. He talks in a very engaging, everyday manner, a very practical, very common sense. You know, he's a hunter, he shoots. He's got a pretty normal family. He's from a blue collar background. He's served in the military. I think it's very difficult to paint him as Kamala's equivalent of J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance was, right, as Governor Walz put it, a weird choice who talks in weird ways. Walz is the unweird. So I think it's going to be pretty hard. And I would echo what Jonathan said earlier. You know, the first principle of selecting a running mate is to do no harm. I don't think he's going to do any harm. I don't think this is going to be a 10-day story. Why did Harris pick Walz?
Yeah, right. So he's just Mr. Milquetoast who's going to do no harm. Right. When he was governor of Minnesota and Minnesota was burning and he was talking about, He let it all happen. He let it all happen. And just so you understand, I mean, when this was going on, during all of this, During all of the riots, he was out there criticizing police. He was out there criticizing police. So just, you know, when you think about his overall record, Tim Walz, they say, do no harm, do no harm. Allows Minneapolis to burn to the ground during the George Floyd riots. Oversaw a $250 million COVID fraud scheme, the largest in America, called out by a judge for lying about the scandal. Forced COVID patients into nursing homes, resulting in mass death. Imposed draconian lockdowns and set up a hotline so people could snitch on their neighbors. Signed a law giving drivers illegal driver's licenses, illegal immigrants, excuse me, driver's licenses. Free college and free health care. Support cities refusing to comply with federal immigration law. Said that he would, he signed a law putting menstrual products in boys' bathrooms. Made Minnesota a sanctuary state for child sex changes. Legalized infanticide with the most radical abortion law in the country that repealed the state's law requiring babies born during a botched abortion receive medical care. Education spending increased under his watch in Minnesota, but less than half of children can read and do math at grade level because of all the lockdowns during COVID. Said just recently that Trump and his supporters are fascists and equip the National Guard just as his unit was about to be deployed to Iraq. So if do no harm is the idea, let's think about some of that harm. By the way, who was our winner? Sean from Norwood, PA, won the tickets. Sean, I was going to grab your call. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance, but congratulations, Sean. Thank you for listening to the show. Appreciate it very, very much. And look forward to seeing you at the event with Donald Trump Jr. and Dom Giordano, Politics and Pints, coming up again. That's going to be on September 12th. Shout out to Andy, too. I met Andy in Wegmans yesterday. I was picking up a prescription. Andy and his two daughters were there. He said he listens to the show every day. Thanks, Andy. I always appreciate when people come up and say hello in public. I always do. I'm always impressed when somebody takes the time out of their day to tell me they listen to the show and they like it. I do. It means a lot. So thank you. You know, if you ever see me in public and you want to say hi, come over and say hello, please. It means everything to me to know that you care enough to take the time to introduce yourself. And I don't take it for granted for a second that you listen to this show. I don't take it for granted for a single second. It's the highest honor to know that people love the show, listen to the show, tell their friends about the show. It's great. We appreciate it very, very much. A third retired command sergeant major is speaking out against Governor Tim Walz, saying he let his soldiers down by avoiding a deployment to Iraq in 2005 before running for Congress. Doug Julin worked his way up to division command sergeant major before he retired from the Minnesota National Guard in 2012 after serving 35 years. This was a backdoor deal, he said, of Walz not going on the mission. He is the third retired CSM to speak with Alpha News this month about a story that all three say deserves more attention. Republican gubernatorial candidate Dr. Scott Jensen called a press conference Thursday to draw attention to the story. He was joined by retired Command Sergeant Major Tom Behrens, who ended up replacing Walz on the deployment. Governor Walz responded a short time later while he attended a dedication of a new medal of... I'm sorry, that's a caption. My apologies. In my eyes, today is the day that Tim Walz is indicted for lack of leadership and an unwillingness to do his duty. He said a group of senior leaders met in early 2005 to get on the same page about the deployment. He said six battalions in total were going on the Iraq mission and four were from Minnesota. He recalled that Walz was at this meeting because he had just been conditionally promoted to the rank of command sergeant major of the 1st Battalion, 125th Field Artillery. A short time later, Walz was talking about running for Congress, but again said he would be going on the deployment. I'm going forward, he recalls Walz saying. Then out of nowhere, in June of 2005, Tom Behrens is there as the new CSM. He said he was most upset with how it was handled because Walz didn't come to him as brigade command sergeant major, the position he held at the time. He went around my authority to get out of the position. I probably would have told him, no, you're going on the deployment. At that point in time, my focus wasn't on Tim Walz walking out the door. My focus was on all the enlisted. I had to make sure all the soldiers had their head on straight. Their health and welfare were at the forefront, and we had to make sure they had everything they needed to do their jobs. He said, however, that pulling Walz out set a tone. Soldiers are thinking, what does he know that I don't know? That's the kind of message it sends. I don't know anybody that wanted to go to war then, but we went because we were there and we were tasked to do it. Julian said he spoke with Waltz directly in 2018 after Barron sent a letter to the media about Waltz's military record. He said he expressed his frustration and concerns to Waltz, who said he appreciated Julian talking to him about it, but that was about it. So he's using the title, but he didn't actually show up to go and fight when his unit was deployed to Iraq. He uses the military to promote himself when he abandoned his soldiers. He let his soldiers down. How can you be entrusted to be the governor of Minnesota when if something is not to your liking, you quit or you serve yourself and not others? A spokesperson for Waltz previously said the topic had been covered before and referred Alpha News to a past story where Waltz said, normally this type of partisan political attack only comes from one who's never worn a uniform. So I would imagine that there's going to be an effort by veterans and other people to expose all this and that this will gain traction. Remember the Swift Boat veterans who came out against John Kerry in 2004? I would imagine something similar is going to be out there about Waltz and his record and not showing up for the deployment and not going out there and being part of the team. So I would expect that. So in other words, if the theory is do no harm, I think there's a lot of harm to this ticket. And even more so, I think that just him being on the ticket is harmful because I think Waltz is a super progressive authoritarian. And what does he bring geographically? It's just the point I made in Fox News today. You sign a law that says there's going to be tampons in boys' bathrooms. How does that play in Georgia? How does that play in North Carolina? How does that play? I mean, I don't think that helps. Does it help with the kooky left? Yeah, it does. But beyond that, I don't think it helps. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you would like to weigh in. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VanariaDental.com. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Hopefully, we can hear a little bit of Waltz speaking in Philadelphia. So I'm sure you're curious about this. I certainly am. I have a lot of great audio to get for you as well. I do want to tell you that when it comes to your bathroom in your home, how's it doing? Is it outdated? Are you a little embarrassed to let friends use the bathroom? Well, if you are, it's time to let the team at Emmons and their design specialists design a bathroom that you will love, and one that Emmons will redo in as little as 3 days, with custom designs that cater to your unique tastes. Imagine an affordable, maintenance-free bathroom with little to no inconvenience to you and your family in only 3 days. That's incredible. Only 3 days. And if you have a property at the shore that needs updating, Emmons services all the shore points, and Emmons has finance options available. Having your bathroom renovated not only brings comfort and quality of life to your family, it is one of the best investments you can make in your home to improve its value. So just call them today at 856-885-6677 or check out their website at callemmons.com. That's callemmons.com. Tell them I sent you. 856-885-6677. We had Emmons update our home. Update the bathroom in our old home. They did a fantastic job. Love the work they did. And most importantly, my wife loved it. And you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So reach out to them today. Call Emmons.com, 856-885-6677.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off.
and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.